Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Got carried away. George.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this Monday's version of Raising Expectations. We're so glad you're here because you're what this program's all about. We want you to be excited about things in your life that you could see change for the better. So we want to be encouraging, positive, look at the things in the world today and give yourselves a chance to think about them as we talk with our, I'm going to say, very illustrious group of co-hosts. Hello, I'm Joe Schofield. It's a pleasure to meet you and wonderful to be a part of something with these great people that are my friends. Most of you know them, but I'm just going to say it again. You know, we have Dr. Paul Hall. I have a flash announcement. He's not a retired theologian. In fact, he's still theologing along quite well. Theologian, didn't that sound great? Look that up. If it's not a word, Rob, it sounded good, didn't
That's
it?
That's an adjective, isn't it?
Yes, it is. He's very
I
active.
So. And,
Paul, love you, brother. Hang in there.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. And we have Commander Robin Nancy Hansen. He's a retired naval aviator, a Top Gun pilot, and a trainer protecting our nation. And, of course, his wife takes good care of him now. Nancy, we're blessed to have both of them as a part of this team. And then we've got a really good surprise for tonight. We've been talking about this. We're anxious to share with you tonight. You all know Stephanie and Craig Thayer. We introduce them every week. Stephanie has a great wellness, health and wellness program. You have to look her up. They're on our website. Somebody said to me, Joe, how do I find them? Go to the website. Everything's there. Pictures, story, everything. So you'll be able to follow them. But on her website, she helps people to find who they are physically, emotionally, and be excited about to becoming all they can become. And she's helping all of us. And like you used to say, we're all getting in shape. We're going to be in the Olympic team next time they do that. We're going to be in good shape thanks to her. And, hey, something really cool, huh, guys? Just so you'll know, her son, she and Craig, he is an Eagle Scout.
Eagle Scout.
And has yeah! That is awesome.
Hello. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Man, that's a lot of work. And what an effort and something to be so proud of all of his life. So we're proud with you and for you. Very, very exciting. And tonight, her husband, Dr. Craig, sometimes I have trouble, we call him Tank. It's a term of endearment, but some of you might say, what did he say? But Tank is going to share tonight with us what we call the Raising Expectations COVID update. Here's the neat thing. Being a trauma surgeon, many people will call in and ask him about what's going on with the COVID situation. And the thing we love to share about him, don't we, guys, that the feedback we get are the people that are his patients always share how much they appreciate the love and the care and the understanding he does as a surgeon and as a friend for them. And Craig, we're just so excited to have you part of our team. And we're going to go right into this. We're anxious to see the update of what people have been saying. And then you can flash. Yeah, Rob? I see. Yes, I see that hand.
Yeah, just real quick before Tank starts, I was listening to Dr. Sebastian Gorka, and today he had both Evan Sayet, who was our guest last week, and Colonel Kurt Schlichter, who was our guest the previous week, on his show. And, you know, they had no more than 10 minutes. So, you know, we had both of them on for an entire hour. And I think that should tell everybody how impactful our podcast really is. you know, we get these guys that are on these nationally recognized Salem radio shows. But I think that says a lot for our podcast, doesn't it?
Yeah, a lot of good things going out, yes. Folks. Thanks, Rob. I didn't know
well,
that.
Yeah.
That's just, awesome.
I'm done. Me, so.
And then what we do is we bring them in, and then what we do is we put the frosting on the cake with Dr. Craig Fader. Right, guys?
There you go.
Yeah, we're so blessed to have him, and the questions you had for Craig, say it last week. That was an awesome program. Folks, if you haven't seen it, go to the website, click on it, and listen to next week's program after you listen to this week's, because we're excited to see what he's going to share with us. Thanks for a great update there, folks. And, you know, I'll tell you this before he begins. We are a listener appreciated and a listener supported outfit here. And, we've had some wonderful people beginning to share by simply going to the same website to listen. And there's a little button that says donation there. In all seriousness, if you can click on there, if you can give 10 or 15 or 20, or most of you are giving $25 a month, it means a lot to us. It's a great blessing and it enables us to continue what we're doing. So I hope you'll do that. And by the way, the Raising Expectation version of Legitimate Faith is coming out pretty soon, that book. So you're going to be excited to hear what a few comments are coming from all the team and what it has to do with your life. Boy, since we ever needed legitimate faith, it's now, that's for sure. So thanks for sharing that, Rob. So, all right, Craig, we've been thinking, I've been praying all weekend. I've been thinking about this, watching the news and saying, normally when I watch the news, most of the time today, my comment is very simple. It's three words. Are you kidding?
We're done.
You know, we're a family here. You guys are like brothers and sisters, so I got to go back there just for a second. So I'm thinking theologian, and I'm picturing Paul and Lederhosen, and I'm not sure which event he's going to do in the log thing. The one where you're in the water, spinning the other guy off the log. The chopping one where you have to wear the plate metal socks, or the pole climbing. I'm not sure which one I'd say to do. But Paul, yeah. What one would you do?
Yes, pick one.
Anyway, so I appreciate the people listening and our family here. So I thought what I would do is go over questions that I get. You know, first of all, you're like, why does the trauma surgeon care about this? Interesting, in medical history, HIV broke out in 1981. And it was the first time physicians refused to respond to patients. And it took until 1988, when the Disabilities Act was passed, to make it mandatory by law that you could not refuse a patient. You're like a firefighter, a pilot, fire pilot, downrange, you've got to respond. So, and then they determined that even if a doc was HIV positive and a surgeon, that the likelihood of them passing it on was very low, so they could still operate. So there were things that evolved with that epidemic that were pivotal to care. So, you know, I always, when I'm in church and the pastor says, well, the, you know, Veterans Day, well, the first responders, please stand up. If you serve in the Army, military, whatever, you know, all branches, you know, firefighter, paramedics, all those, I never stand, but, and I still wouldn't. I mean, I do come running in and open chest and do some wicked stuff to people that save their lives, but and expose myself to all those things for the sake. And that's why I got vaccinated. I don't care if it gives me, you know, some weird chip on my shoulder that the government's following, but I'm willing to do it for my patients. So
I want to say something about that, though. A year ago, actually, today was the first day we were home from a medical mission. We barely left Honduras. And Craig had a funny post that I saw on social media where it was asking if anybody could spare a square of toilet paper. It's a funny reference to a square,
right? We because saw that nothing. Picture.
That is so cool.
Okay, isn't that funny? There was nothing.
We're worthy.
There was nothing at the store just a year ago, right? But we didn't know how dangerous it was or wasn't. And so it was really scary for me watching my husband go in, and he never ever said, I'm not going to go, like, you go. And you think, oh my gosh, we have no idea if this is a nothing or if this is a huge thing, right? And that's pretty, it was pretty scary for a while, just not knowing how much you would be exposed or not.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting conundrum. So, you know, I think I said last time, we do things that we learned from influenza A, which was the Spanish flu, as far as distancing, masking, all that, being outdoors, 6 feet, blah, blah, blah. And we use those, and we've increased that with Ebola, with PAPRs and all sorts of protective gear, gowns, masks, and doing things so less people get exposed. But depression is a huge thing. So there's a balance of when can we go back and socialize with people? We're made to gather and be in a church, right? So, I mean, this is a church, we're gathering, but it's not the same, right? Mm-hmm. So women between the ages of 30 and 44, their suicide is 5 times higher than it was before. And you just see, I mean, the kids, you know, I mean, I remember her comment that the freshmen don't get to go to orientation in high school, and that's when she met some of her closest friends.
To this day, yeah.
So graduations, we missed 3 of them in our own family,
mm-hmm.
and we'll probably miss another one, the virtual coming up at Cal Poly for his master. So, yeah, it's sad. It's not the same world right now, which is hard for anyone to digest and process and try and be normal and, you know, pivot, as they say. But so what I thought I would do is just start off with, like, the questions people have asked me. Like, for example, we got a vaccine now, 2, 3, actually. One was taken, 4. We had one taken off the market. I'll go over that in a bit. Not taken off the market, it's held. You know, the problem and the reason is twofold. One is, yes, the vaccine works, all of them. They're safe and effective, but we didn't test, once you've had it, are you contagious to other people? So that's, we're evidence-based, that's our science, right? So we didn't do that. So Israel has stepped up as a country, wow, and is gonna do that first for us. So they've already got 45% of their population vaccinated and the disease is pretty much gone.
Mm-hmm.
No published data yet, but it's just around the corner. Yeah. So that's why we still wear masks. The other thing that's sometimes confusing to the public is they're like, well, I had COVID, you know, the virus COVID-19. Well, medical community likes to be very stupidly specific. So technically COVID-19 is just the symptoms that occur from the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So the virus is actually, but everybody, including the docs, call it COVID-19. So it's like, okay, if I'm in a scientific community, I want to be absolutely correct in what I'm going to say, and I'm being peer-reviewed when I say it, then I'll speak that language. But everybody calls COVID-19 COVID-19. So what else? A lot of conspiracy about the disease and death. You know, it's real. I mean, just call any mortician in any county and ask them, did they get overwhelmed? And they did. Interestingly, I read a book, I don't know if I commented on this before, but Malcolm Gladwell, sociologist, the London bombings, Churchill knew that there was going to be mass panic. And so he built like 4 psych hospitals on the perimeter of London. He reinforced the infrastructure for emergency care, bunch of stuff. And he was worried that the panic would shut London down. 8 million people in London. And so the sociologist looked back, or the psychologist looked back at what happened. The bombings came, no one panicked. They had a stiff upper lip, which was the term they gave the Brits.
Yeah.
And the reality was there were 3 groups. You died, so you didn't cause any panic. Or you were a near miss, which was, you know, you knew it, you got hurt, you saw someone die, it was real. So every time the alarms and sirens go off after that, you're going to shelter in and do all the things that you've been told to do to save your life and be safe. And then there were the remote misses. So people would go in and shelter and they may hear noise or see smoke, but nothing happened. So they come out and they go, well, okay, that didn't seem. Each time that happened, they got this false sense of security and actually an overly invincible feeling. So they just didn't shelter in it. And I think that's kind of what went on with COVID, or SARS, whatever, I'm going to call it COVID. So you know, people who didn't see someone die, get sick, be on a ventilator, all that, couldn't go visit and then talk to, they were the remote missed, and so they just didn't think it existed. So they would come and just, what I call, be virally promiscuous. So it's kind of like, you know, an STD.
Good term.
You know, if people don't disclose where they've been and who they've been with.
Yeah.
Right? But then this has been the same thing. I mean, yeah. It's been interesting because it kind of broke up a co-op, our school co-op. We have a Hungarian lady, so very strong anti being told anything.
Anti-government, right.
So yeah. Controlled by the Russians when she was a kid after the World War II. Mm-hmm. And I mean, taken to a constant, like almost a concentration camp, just a field.
Horrible.
They were a former restaurateur. They were just, for 5 years, they lived and had to hack it. And then they got moved back, never got their stuff back. Eventually they did get a stipend though, because one of the old guys is getting about $1,000 a month. Must be from Russia.
Yeah, and payment.
For payment for losing his farm. So, mm-hmm. And then again, there's just people that don't. Yeah, that's one of the other questions. Does the mask cause brain damage? That's been a legit question. Like, what, the fibers? Or, you know, you can't breathe. It's harder to breathe. There's people who train with masks to make their diaphragms work harder to breathe, just to make them stronger, whatever sport they're in. So, no, it doesn't. So, the other real test that it's real in the way it spreads was the Christmas tree guy. Did you guys hear about that?
So bad.
So it was an employee party where they're just ignoring things.
I did.
And he was in an, you know, like you have inflatable things out in your yard that like Christmas trees or Santa.
Right. Oh, you see the
Halloween,
you know,
so he's a suit, right?
So didn't he go into a fan that blows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did.
So he didn't know he had it, and he's in this basically aerosolizing machine. He gives it to 45 people in the group, and one of them dies. Yeah. It does spread, and it is real. And I'll go over kind of again what the new things and the things we've learned. And
do you want to
comment? Oh yeah, sure.
He'll lecture the whole hour if you don't jump in.
Yeah.
No, you got it.
No, I noticed that Rob, man, he took his glasses off. I'm like, I'm worried.
For a while. For a few minutes.
Yeah. For the whole time.
All right. Yeah. This is,
We're a change.
Okay, carry on.
The vaccines, and I had a lot of questions about the vaccines themselves. So, you know, old school, they were like a protein or a fat, kind of like things that you do for poison oak, where you have a rash from a reaction. And then there was a vector of a virus that's been attenuated or made weaker. So you get it like polio, dengue fever, yellow fever. Those are all viruses that were weakened that had antigens on them that would stimulate your immune system to then fight the dengue fever, the polio, and those things. And then the more current ones, which are really interesting, are mRNA. So that's Pfizer and Moderna. And it's got strands, just like the virus does, that you inject into a muscle, and then you get it into your bloodstream, and it goes to cells. And then the cells do all the work for your immune system. So it goes into the cytoplasm, not the nucleus, which is the vault of our DNA, our genes, our chromosomes. So they don't touch those at all. They go into the printer of the cell called a ribosome and make the spike protein from our own cell. So then those spike proteins then float or get transported to the surface, which then are on the surface, and your body realizes this is something not good. And so it kills that cell. So that, it is used as a chemotherapy now. Pretty amazing. They use the cells from your tumor. So they'll biopsy it and then put them on a culture and then find out what proteins on that will be useful. And then they inject those back into your body. And then your immune system sends your T killer cells and your macrophages, and it beats the snot out of the cancer. So, like, yeah, so it's kind of cool. But, and that's what this does. So it basically, but it gives you an immunity now to the virus. And the nice thing is the three other strains that are out there, the UK, the South African, and the South South American, all have the spike protein on them. So as long as they got the spike protein, all these vaccines are going to work.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Which one would you recommend?
Of the three?
So do you want to get poked once or twice?
Not at all.
I don't want to get poked at all.
Seriously, right. I don't. You know, I have allergies. I'm allergic to cough medicine.
So, and then, there's another.
I'm allergic to country music.
Shush.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
He is too. That's so weird, bro.
Coughing is involved with the COVID and everything, and I haven't had it, the COVID. Mm-hmm. But I'm just wondering if I'm even, you know, if I even should do it. But, you know, I want to be able to travel again.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to go for the least amount that I have to have if I have to do it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of waiting for herd immunity so everybody is healthy, mm-hmm, and then I won't get sick. But
yeah.
I don't know. Tell me what you think. I mean, I am allergic to like Robitussin, NyQuil. I mean, would this affect that at all? Any of that? Because so, I know
you need to be allergic to what's in it. So you need to be allergic to what's in it.
Dextromethorphine hydrobromide.
Dextromethorphine.
Yeah, I think you're okay there. There's acetate in the Moderna, and there's a bunch of kind of fatty acids in the Pfizer. And then the Johnson & Johnson is a little different. They use a virus that has the mRNA in it that then produces the spike protein. So they cheat. They just use a virus that it's a similar adenovirus or coronavirus. Corona has a spike protein on it. So they just use a virus that's not going to make you sick, but it'll make you produce the spike protein, and then you're immune. So which one would you recommend for me? That's a one shot, but there's another alternative. I'll get to that in a bit.
You may be able to take something
that prevents you from getting it. If you know you're going to go into a high level of exposure, and you took this, you'd be okay. A certain high percent of the time. That's the monoclonal antibody. So, and I'll go over that. That's the latest and greatest stuff that I'll go over in a bit. So.
Well, and Nancy, just so you know, we both have had Pfizer. So sort of it's like, if you want it, take what you can get. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just worried about my allergies, and I didn't know if any of that would affect it because I know, you know.
Yeah.
I can't even take cough medicine.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people in our listening audience are probably confused over which of the three pharmaceutical companies are going to protect them the most. And I have no idea.
So that's a good question. So Pfizer and Moderna, you need the evidence is you have to take two doses. One is 21 days apart, the other one's 14.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take Pfizer only once, it's about 80% effective. Twice, it's, you know, 95-ish. So, mm-hmm. And Moderna is about the same. So Johnson & Johnson, they recommend only one dose, and you're 80% okay. But you're 100% not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's American data. That was like 44,000 Americans were used in that study.
If they got
one dose of the vaccine, it's only 80% effective. But
yeah,
that's really good more, because the more last symptom and less, on that Johnson & Johnson was 66%. And I was like,
It's 66% for overall symptoms.
Yeah.
It's higher for later and all that stuff being super strong.
So that's why they say the Johnson & Johnson shot will be better than the other ones that require two shots?
No, not really. See, that's the problem. You can't really compare the two because it depends on what you want to do. If you just don't want to die, then Johnson & Johnson's great. But if you want to sit on a breathing machine and stare at the walls and the nurses, then the other two are better.
Depends
on what you want to do.
Yeah. And I think
if you're going to go into an area that's really ugly,
Yeah.
Take the new monoclonal antibody and you should be okay.
Yeah. Okay. And again, I think a lot of the listening audience needs to understand, and I think a lot of them probably are confused over which of the shots they should take to keep them from getting their coronavirus.
And I don't think they actually have a choice when you sign up to go. Right. It's whatever they have. And mm-hmm. what if they wanted the two shots and all they have is a Johnson & Johnson, I mean, how does that work? How does that work? Mm-hmm. You know, can go?
They have the choice. You said, you sign up at CVS or Rite Aid and you show up and your appointment and it's what they got that day. They'll tell you, you're getting mm-hmm. Pfizer today and then 21 days you need to come back. And we'll make that appointment
and
for you.
People have no say in which vaccine they will get, right?
And okay, here's another question. I'm sorry, everybody. After this, we'll shut up. If I would get just randomly get a Johnson & Johnson, one shot, could I go back and get a Moderna or a Pfizer shot, or is that not cool?
Mix them? Yeah.
Well, that's a good question. So we had a lot of nurses that had gotten COVID, and the recommendation is to still get vaccinated. So that being said, we don't have any evidence about double immunization or any of those things. Mm-hmm. I think right now the biggest talk early was when we've done evidence for two doses, don't we want to try and immunize as much as we can, many people as we can, and just mm-hmm. go with one? Well, that's not the evidence that we have. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's not as good. It's better if we do it. Let's just get these people protected completely and then go from there. So I think until we have an abundance of vaccination material, we're stuck with it, whatever it is, just to get mm-hmm. us there. This is an emergency. I mean, that's the other thing. So people don't realize I'm not going to get political, but the administration that was in place when this started in March of last year mm-hmm. did the right thing and got the FDA to follow the emergency acts mm-hmm. and bypass the third stage or third phase of the FDA, which is the longest and the most expensive.
It takes 5 to 10 years.
The first is you got to make sure it doesn't kill people or harm them. That's safety. Mm-hmm.
And they did
that. The second is efficacy, which they did really quickly, and it works. The other part's all this political garbage, money, cost that takes mm-hmm. 2, 3, 4 years, gone. So that's why we have a vaccine.
And I wanted to say, you said something, Nancy, that I think is very true. You know, theoretically, we need to get to a herd level, which is 70%-ish or more. That's either going to come from sickness, immunization, mm-hmm. or combination, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm just thinking, you know, if I want to go in there and I want to get, like, two vaccines, so I'm, like, really immunized, and then they've got the Johnson & Johnson, mm-hmm. I can't go back later and get another shot to, like, beef it up a bit. You know what I – do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, and here's the other data we don't have. We do not know how long it lasts mm-hmm. because right. it only started in, you know – mm-hmm. You know, yeah, well,
you got immunizations.
The first trials are probably Marchish to mm-hmm. April. So, I mean, we barely have a year's data. I know that they've said Moderna was mainly U.S., I think it was only U.S. tested. And mm-hmm. so, and I don't know if you guys know this, but a very great Christian stepped up because it was made at Vanderbilt and said, how much does it take to get this done? And he said, $1 million. And this person named Dolly Parton gave $1 million to get it done.
I've heard that name.
Yeah. Good for
her. Maybe you do like country.
Yeah.
No, everybody loves Dolly.
Well, yeah.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. Well, and she's singing Christian music right now. Yeah, she's like
fabulous.
And she has a drummer, Rob. Yeah. She's got a percussionist. She's got a drummer in her band. Just wanted you to know that.
She never asked me to join her band.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought?
Okay, I'm off to scouts.
Dolly's
going to keep me on the
right track.
Bye, Steph.
Bye, Steph.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Pulled his glasses off. I get nervous.
Step back and let Dr. Joe and
Paul.
Dr. Paul.
Yeah, Dr. Paul. And Dr. Craig's.
and Dr. Craig.
Paul got a shot. Paul, tell him it was interesting. We were sharing about that this week. That was interesting.
I did have a shot. Yeah, I took the shot 2 weeks ago. I the second one's coming up in another.
Which one?
Couple weeks. I'm not sure. I'll have to look. I know it's the longer period between the first and the second shot. That's the one I got. I'm sorry.
How many days?
20.
How many days period?
21.
So you probably got Pfizer.
Pfizer. Yeah. I have a question for you, Tank, and you may have already said this, but does the shot when you get the vaccination? Whichever, does that provide immunity? Does it provide?
Yes.
Okay. So you are immune.
So I mean, it takes time. Okay. So your immune system, I mean, it's, you know, we used to look at clotting as being one of the most complex systems, right? So, and actually it's been used by most theologic people as proof that evolution couldn't have occurred because it's too complex to have happened. If we would have evolved from molecules to proteins to cells to organs to, and we became pressurized, a tubular system that carries all of our nutrients and oxygen. So you want tubing that, and the fluid to be a certain viscosity and the tubes to, you know, leak enough to get stuff into the cells, but not leak so much that you bleed to death. So it's like this balance of your, well, the immune system is like, we've just discovered stuff that's just so crazy. So there's this inflammatory side, like for cirrhosis and psoriasis and Crohn's disease and lupus and autoimmune arthritis. Those things are inflammatory. So there are chemicals like histamines and a bunch of stuff that just irritates that tissue, your joint, your heart, your whole system for lupus. And then there's part of our immune system that destroys things. So like cancers, whether they're skin, lung, brain, breast, whatever. And so there's a balance that you have to have, like the scale for justice, right? So the monoclonal antibodies, which you see on TV now, the mAbs, are the ones that can balance either way. So you see stuff for Crohn's and for psoriasis and arthritis. And then you see some for melanoma now. That's the only thing we've come out that our own immune system, like, kills it. Like, it creates antibodies that then bind to that cell that then send out this alert, destroy, destroy, destroy. Mm-hmm. And these T killer cells come in and just eat, along with macrophages that then clean it up, these tumors up, and they're gone. Mm. Which is amazing, because I had a good friend who had a melanoma on his scalp, young guy, 3 kids, and he got melanoma. He had the surgery, and then he had a dream, and it was just LAK. And he called me up because he knew I was a doc, and I go, I'll look it up. And I look it up, and it's the first, very first studies in monoclonal antibodies that kill tumors. Yeah. And I go, he had a CT scan coming up that he was worried about. I go, I don't like what I see, because what I'm seeing is you're going to have disease, but we've got treatment for it. And I don't like that. I'd rather you not have disease. And sure enough, he had disease, bunch of tumor all over his lungs. And he went on to monoclonals, and it's all gone. So our immune system's crazy. So again, you'll get those, whether it's the actual mRNA that then goes into the cell that then creates the spike protein through its copy machine. Mm-hmm. Or for Johnson & Johnson, it's a virus that has in its own system that mRNA that makes the spike protein. Same thing, it's just that now it's in a virus. So, the immune system's incredible.
I guess we are fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't we? I guess.
Yes, yeah. Well, and that's just it. I mean, it's like
Dr. Hall.
Yeah, I have another question. The Gallup poll came out, Tank, the Gallup poll said that 49% of the frontline health workers are not getting the vaccine. Is that consistent with what you're hearing?
Yeah, no. Even the folks that, so if you've, it's almost diagnostic. If you've had COVID and didn't know it, you get a little, it's not a side effect. It's actually your own immune system working, like you said, till you get immune. Your first antibodies are these giant molecules called IgM. globulin, and they do the work. And then that occurs in the first week, and then that starts to fade, and then the IgG goes up. And there are tests out there for you to stick your finger and see if you have those antibodies. A lot of dentists are using them for their staff to keep them, tested and know if they're okay. But, so that stuff doesn't make you maybe just get tired or, you mm-hmm. ache. You may get some of the symptoms GI-wise, headaches. So, but that's your system working. And I'm like, my first one, my shoulder was a little sore, but that's probably just mechanically from putting some form of material in my shoulder. And then the next time I had like nothing. So it wasn't even sore. So I'm like,
yeah.
Did my immune system work? Am I okay?
I had no effects whatsoever. No soreness, nothing. Everything went really fine.
So in the second dose, maybe for most people, it's a little worse because, again, your body now has an immunity to it. So when you get mm-hmm. it, you may just, maybe a low-grade fever. Or again, you just don't mm-hmm. want to take a nap or something. And that's fine. But if you've had COVID and you get the first shot, you feel horrible. Oh, okay. It's to the point where you just feel like you need to take the day off. So it's pretty rough. But we do that because we don't know if we're going to be immune by getting it down the road. So, and we don't know how long our immunity is with the vaccines. So mm-hmm. You're watching the science real time, which is, frustrating because you want answers, but we're publishing and peer reviewing as fast as we can.
Okay, Craig. I'm sorry. Real quick, just a really quick one. Yeah. If you've already had COVID, is it okay to have both shots, or do you go to one shot? Because I know a lot of people that have had it, and I'm just wondering, I've heard different things about, only get one shot because you already have antibodies. Or should you have two shots? And
The big powers would say you still need two because that's the evidence, right? We don't know what it is to get long-term immunity from one and having COVID. We don't have any data that shows what that we will, but it's down the road.
I'm sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
No, I just heard a curious blurb on the news this morning about the EU taking some of the vaccines, they're putting them on hold, I guess is what they're doing.
Yeah.
What's the thinking behind that?
So that's six countries in the EU. That was Denmark, Norway, Iceland, Bulgaria, Ireland, and the Netherlands. And it's the AstraZeneca. It's the AstraZeneca. And what they saw was it lowers your platelet count. So you have several things that make you clot. So the first thing is you get a hole in the tube, and kind of like a mason, they put up, if you're going to do a brick wall, you put up chicken wire. Mm-hmm. That's what your platelets are. The platelets are just this, they're non-cellular. There's no nucleus to them. It's not a real cell. It's just this almost like a virus, but it's just the coating of the virus that mm-hmm. floats around it. So it just kind of sticks and sets up a chicken wire at the hole. And then after that comes all the clotting proteins that then plug the hole. And then there's other proteins that start to lyse that clot. So there's this balance of formation and degradation. And you don't want any of those out of balance. And so when you take aspirin or Plavix or some of the other antiplatelet drugs, that's why we give that for heart attack. Because you've just clotted off an artery in your heart and part of your heart's not getting that blood. So within the first hour, you take an aspirin. Right. I don't care. Take mm-hmm. an aspirin because it increases your survival dramatically. And that's one of the things they measure at every hospital in the United States mm-hmm. is did you get that aspirin within the first hour? And they grade you on that. And you will not be following the cardiac guidelines of humanity in America if you don't get that or your failure rate's high. So, it just takes away the platelets. So it stops. You don't clot as fast, you still clot.
So if you're taking blood thinners, as I am, having had a heart attack 6 years ago, if you're taking blood thinners, does that have an effect? The vaccine have an effect if you're taking the thinners?
It depends on what kind of blood thinner you're on. So old school, it was warfarin, which is rat poisoning.
Okay.
People hate me saying that. Sorry, if you're taking it, you're fine.
I'm not on the
but right. But it's monitored. What's that?
I said I'm not doing the rat poisoning thing so far.
Yeah.
Come on, Dr.
Well, it's labor intense. It's labor intense. It's actually the drug that has the most adverse drug reactions because people eat something or they add a medication like an antibiotic, and so it throws your liver off because it metabolizes it, and you get way out of control and too thin, right? And so, so you got to have it monitored and know that's okay, and that's a pain. You can't really travel that well if you're out of balance, right? So, and they do have these finger things, but not as accurate. And then there's Eliquis, Raxaban, Axaban. There's several others that just inhibit some of the factors from working. Mm-hmm. They take longer to go away, and they kick in right away. So warfarin takes like 3 days to begin, and the others are right away. So I have patients that I take out a gigantic lipoma, and they're on it. So I take them off 4 or 5 days ahead of time, mm-hmm. operate, they don't bleed. And I've had like a cardiologist see him for atrial fibrillation, and they put him on one of these things, and they fill that pocket up with blood. It's awesome. So, because it just does kick in right away. I can start Coumadin right after the surgery, but I have to wait 72 hours for the other ones.
Okay.
Now, Tank, we've been taking, let's see, a buttload of vitamin C, vitamin D3, zinc, magnesium, calcium, and more zinc. And
along with our multivitamins.
And all that. And again, maybe both of us have a very strong immune system compared to others.
We haven't
contracted it. We've been, you know,
around
a lot of people over the past year.
Right.
And we have never picked up anything.
Are we doing things right?
Yeah.
Or
so
are we just
the
time?
The COVID cocktail. So when I have these other questions, so people call me, okay, I got COVID. What can I expect? And this is the key. So I send them this 18-day schedule of what they can expect. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. 50% of people have symptoms, so you should be. Although 100% is like at 12 days. So there can be people long, but anyway, what happens is your lungs get stiffer because this virus attacks the membranes of your lungs, which then make them swollen, mm-hmm. and it's just mechanically harder to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
The oxygen still early on is passing just fine. So when they get up to walk, their heart rate shoots up just like you're sprinting, but you're just standing there. And so I tell them buy a pulse ox, because then you can tell your stats above 90 and you're fine. And it's mentally reassuring to them. So, and then you know about the fifth or sixth, seventh day, your symptoms are going to peak and you're going to start to get better. If you don't, and now you get into respiratory problems and you get a pneumonia, then you're admitted and you're going to be put on this cocktail. So this is not like pulmonary edema of being given too much fluid, or your heart's not pumping right, so the fluid backs up in your lungs. Mm-hmm. This is like a high altitude pulmonary edema where you take Decadron. So we give Decadron, mm-hmm. we give gentle diuretics, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc are key. They've been shown to work. Mm-hmm. We tried the chloroquines. Doesn't work. It's used still for lupus. You know, they took quinine off the market because it gave people arrhythmias and they died from funky heart rates and stuff. And then they increased that dose like 4 or 5 fold. They started to kill people because they had heart problems. So they only, if you're going to try it, recommend that you're on monitored bed. So if you've gotten a hold of some chloroquine, and if you're smart and you go to a third world country and suddenly you feel sick and you start taking that, that may not be, it doesn't work. So don't even do it. And then two antibiotics, one's like Doxy. So it's this weird broad spectrum that covers all the really wackadoo parasites and everything else. And then a cephalosporin, which is usually Rocephin. And then they put you on a mAb. it's remdesivir, so or an antiviral, not a mAb, but remdesivir, and that's completely changed the death rate. From we had a big peak in July, that was nothing compared to the one we just had in December, and that was for Thanksgiving. Thank you for giving COVID to me, and I mean, everybody was done sheltering, right? So they did, and that we had.
Did you get it?
No, I've never gotten it. Yeah. Oh, I don't know why. I just like, I'm like Mel Gibson and We Were Soldiers just walking through the field and the bullets are just hurling
okay,
by me.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I was in a room with a completely COVID patient that needed a line put in her subclavian vein and she's coughing and, you know, I'm masked up. I'm not in a PAPR or any of that stuff. I've got a face mask on and, you know, I get to throw a sheet thing over her for the sterile dressing and stuff. So that kind of keeps it away. But yeah, she like died 4 hours later. So that was a pretty extensive exposure. So.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Tank.
Yeah, I've been lucky.
One of the things I've been looking at over the past year is how the regular flu hasn't really been reported. And there are statistics over the past few years that the regular flu has, you know, killed roughly the same amount of people, despite what the media tells us, that the COVID flu has done. And so, you know, many people just don't know what to believe. And I'm thinking that is COVID-19 just another strain of flu that people don't really need to be afraid of, despite the fact that, you know, everybody's wearing a mask and we've shut everything down in the country for the last year. Yeah. And that's what worries me the most. I just worry that people have been, I don't know, duped to believe that the COVID virus is something that they shouldn't worry as much about as they should because it's got a 99% recovery rate.
Yeah, it's not that good. Yeah. I mean, the key early on was to reduce the curve because if we run out of ventilators, there's going to be death panels. You have to choose somehow who's not going to get put on a. And that was going on in New York. And if you looked at the docs that were posting from the ER, they were freaked. I mean, there were bodies piling up at the morgue. You know, unless it's back to Spanish flu, 40% mortality. So, but there were reasons for that because we weren't doing certain things then. And now we do. And that totally reduces the flu. That's why the flu is not existent because we're masking and distancing and we're doing all the things that we learned in 1918. So it's not been a big problem, you know, and the flu is weird. And I hope this one's not like that because it's morphed into about over 110 different viruses. So, somebody sits there and chooses the probability of the highest 23 there to think they're going to be, or if you get the super flu vax, I think it's 36 different strains of the flu. Mm-hmm. You know, they're gambling on what they think it's going to be. So luckily, so far, this thing's got four strains, but they all have the same spike protein. So we're okay so far. But if one morphs into, I mean, the new ones are more contagious. They're 50% more contagious, but there's not a change in the death rate or the, But what I was saying is from July to December, from all that cocktail, we learned how prone people, lay them on their stomach, doing all these things. There were two-thirds of the deaths of what we had from the first blip. So we've definitely learned how to take care of it. And now the latest and greatest are omega-3s, no published data. So you were talking about vitamins and supplements, may decrease your death rate. It doesn't increase you getting it or the fact that you may get sick enough to be on a ventilator, but it keeps you from dying. Early study of a small number of people. And then there's the monoclonal antibody, which is BAM, Lenivab, MAB, and it's got a 72% reduction of COVID-19. So they took this assisted living places, and they looked at the really high risk that they needed to prevent COVID, and you know, none of those people got sick. You know, and the staff members didn't get sick. So it works at preventing people. And the way it works is that monoclonal antibody goes to your nose and your sinuses, and it's the defense, keeps the virus from getting in.
Wow.
So there's hope. So that's what I'm saying with Nancy. If you're traveling or, you know, you're going to go to a country that has a high incidence or spike, you know, mm-hmm. then you can be taking this stuff. I think it's a one dose thing. And mm-hmm. it lasts for, you know, at least a few weeks or for however long they're exposed.
Mm-hmm. So, is this a nasal thing or... Is it a nasal?
No, it's. I'm not sure how they administer it. I bet you it's a shot.
Oh, okay.
Just like, it's just like, I'm sure it's IV, something that they administer IV, and it's one time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go ahead, Nancy.
One more thing. are we going to have to get booster shots for this every year, in your opinion?
Don't know.
What
Don't
is your
know.
Take? Don't know.
I hope not. God, I pray, please, no.
Yeah.
I hate needles. I don't. You guys, I'm a surgeon. I can cut anybody. I can stab them with a needle. Sorry, probably offending somebody. But
well, we can stab people too.
But when it comes to me, I'm like, you know, when I turned a certain age, and I needed to get just a whole panel of stuff, and I literally showed up. I made the mistake of showing up to the lab. Because it was just before 5 in my scrubs with my badge dangling over my left elbow space where they stick the needle so they can see I'm a doc. And this lovely person comes out, says, oh, I'm a student. Yesterday I got 24 out of 26, and today I'm not doing so well. And I'm like, oh, God,
oh, no.
I'm going to be in the Marshall newsletter falling, passing out and pissing on myself. So, look, there's a picture of him right there. His scrubs are all wet. Yeah. So anyway, there were like 8 vials. I go, that wasn't lab draw. That was like a blood donation. But she got through it. I coached her through it. So.
ER, season 20 or something. Well, we've got 3 minutes left, folks, and we are going to have to kind of circle out of here. But we had somebody text in and made the comment that's kind of important. This has really been good. Every 4 to 5 weeks, you know, by the grace of God, we're going to have Tank bring back the latest things that are going on for COVID for you. So expectations, we'll have a running dialogue for you from what we think is one of the greatest godly men and great surgeons you could ever know. So we're anxious to have you check in. If you've got a question, go to our website and write it in. There's a place you can write a question in. And if you know, we'll get that question, we'll make sure that we're able to address that with you. Here is the website. I forget to do that sometimes. Ready for this? Here it goes. BBSradio.com. BBSradio.com/RRaising, E expectations. Repeat. BBSradio.com/RRaising expectations with those words capitalized. We'll get all the info. You'll read more about what we're doing. If you had a question, somebody did. So go ahead and check that and get back and let Craig know, Dr. Thayer, how much you appreciate. Craig, that was awesome. That was really good. So much good information. There's going to be an avalanche tomorrow. I'm going to be answering texts all day long from people for you. And we'll go ahead and Rob and Nancy, love and appreciate you. Paul, where are you? Dr. Hall, there you are.
There he is.
We'll look forward to hearing about what happens tonight with all the kids that they're like your son. What a great guy, Eagle Scout. And
that's awesome. Thank you. Congratulations. That's just an amazing accomplishment. You should go to the Naval Academy, of course.
Yeah, wow.
You never know.
Tell Rob. Hey,
you'll save you a lot of money. You may be making the next rocket stuff.
Well, that'll work too.
All right. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have to sign off. We wanted to take every minute. Didn't want to stop. It was so good. We'll be on the schedule with Dr. Craig coming up for you, and he'll be sharing with you. And we'll all be back with you next week. I'll tell you about it next week. And you read about it on all the social media. So God bless you and keep you. And do what the doctor said, just what the doctor ordered. Take good care of yourself. And may he place his shield of protection over you. And may you live your life for him each and every day, because boy, will he ever raise your expectations when you look to him. Thanks so much. Goodbye, folks. We'll see you next week. And thanks.
All right, Dr. Joe.
Thank you.
We love you guys.
Love you guys.
Have a nice week.
Love you guys.
Let's do this again.
Absolutely.
Love you guys.
See you later.
All right. Love you too.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.